Not that hard. I heard your rib go. You need a minute?
Nope. Let's get this over with. I got shit to do today.
Welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities between Marvel Comics and their MCU counterparts. And we are your hosts, Jeffrey.
And I.
Hello, and welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
Yes, sir. We are back.
Welcome also to our spoiler-filled episode.
Yes.
All about Captain America Brave New World.
Yes, if you haven't watched it yet, go out and watch that thing.
Go out and show up for Sam Wilson.
Don't listen to what social media has to say.
Legitimately,
and watch
right.
that thing.
Yeah, which of course we can get into in a bit.
Yes.
But before all that,
yeah,
I just wanted to acknowledge how absolutely crazy it is because we did not even mention it in our last
episode. How locked in we are.
We were so locked into Jeff the Land Shark that we have officially crossed over 100 episodes.
Wow.
Of A Stark Contrast since 2021.
Crazy.
Kind of insane.
Very, yes.
It's wild. Insane. It's so wild. Like, who knew that it was going to, like, we were going to take it this seriously, that we were going to keep doing it, and that we're still doing it, and
yes.
we're still, like, we still have not missed an episode.
I know.
Which is, I think, tremendous.
Like, we could easily be like, no episode this week,
guys. Yeah, we don't want to feel like doing it. No, we've never done it. We've always had the time. Yeah.
Made the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is so, so tremendous. So, congratulations, Jeff.
Congratulations, dying me.
Yeah. And so, so if you have not listened to said 100th episode yet, go ahead and rewind one episode back. It's all about Jeff the Land Shark. We even celebrated the milestone moment with a special introduction from John Bailey, aka Jeff himself.
Yep, not me, but the actual guy.
Not Jeff. Yeah, the actual guy. John Bailey, the magnificent voice actor from Marvel Rivals. Yummy.
That was...
Yummy!
It's so insane that...
It's so crazy.
that voice is coming out of him.
I love it so much. He's so talented. So yeah, please go back and listen to that, if only to catch John's amazing introduction. And you know, speaking of Rivals, we published 4 gameplay videos in conjunction with the 100th episode to kind of celebrate as well. And so those are all fully on camera. It's a picture-in-picture, play-by-play of 2 rounds each. We both played Jeff.
We both at least did a round of Jeff.
At least 1 round of Jeff.
Yes.
I had the colossal misfortune of not getting to pick Rocket Raccoon until we stopped recording. So my sessions are pretty awful, personally speaking, but Jeff had some good ones.
It's all part of the fun.
Yeah, it's all part of the fun of Marvel Rivals and the stress and of Marvel Rivals. But check those out on YouTube. And the link is in the show notes. Oh, and also, speaking of Rivals, Johnny Storm and The Thing have officially joined the character roster. I have not been able to play it. I have been so busy. And I know, Jeff, you too.
I've just seen some gameplay and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm looking forward to like being on a team where all 4 of them are being used.
Oh,
it's gonna be hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that's true. that's funny that you mentioned that because they're the first team that is actually complete. Because Guardians is right there. They're missing Drax and Gamora.
Yes.
But Fantastic Four, it's officially a complete team. So
I wonder what kind of the voice lines. I'm
the
like,
voice
when
lines,
all 4
the
of them are there.
It must be so good. I am surprised, however, that they have not introduced like a complete setup, like Ultimate. But that would probably be too much anyway.
It would be. It would just be like just not played and not.
Yeah, like don't even bother. It would be definitely OP. But yeah, so Johnny Storm and The Thing. I can't wait to try it out. Maybe this weekend we'll see if life decides to slow down a bit.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Give us a moment to actually play. But yeah, when's the last time you played?
Probably over the weekend.
Yeah,
just with
same,
friends.
Same.
But
yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, same. Well, Maybe this will be our weekend. We'll see. And then last but not least, and right on time per marketing schedule, Daredevil hype has officially entered the chat with the release of the new teaser for the show. Oh my gosh. So I will be completely honest. I have not watched it because I want to.
Just the first.
Anything that they have released in the last this week, I have not watched. Because I want to go in so clean.
Yeah, they released a clip today, too.
Yeah, yeah. And we reshared it on social media, but I myself have not watched it.
Dai's just, she has earplugs in and she's reposting it blind.
You should see. When I'm watching TV or streaming, whatever, and an ad comes up or something like that.
Yeah.
I will literally just be like, la, 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 and look away from the TV or turn down the volume, whatever I have to do. So that I don't see things. And so
it's funny.
I understand, like, you know, this is obviously a series.
Yes.
So it's going to premiere on March 4th, for the record, with 2 episodes to kick off the season. But the season itself is 10 episodes long. So I'm like, okay, I'm not too worried that I'm going to be spoiled, like, right off the bat. But I just want to go in with the cleanest palette and just absorb every minute of it. The
of course.
It actually drops. That I'm give all the Daredevil,
and we're getting we're getting 2 episodes off the bat.
Just so excited. But you saw it, how did you, were you just like,
I mean, I'm just excited for Daredevil in general, so it's gonna be good. I know people are waiting for this, so
this is the kind of vibe and energy that I wanted when the show first dropped in general. Dare I even say when Ben Affleck's movie came out, like, this is the kind of reception that I always wanted people to have.
Yeah.
And now it's like he can pop up in Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man and everyone is like, Daredevil. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. It's like overdue.
Yeah.
The devil was due. It's the devil's due for sure. But yeah, so tune in March 4th. That is just around the corner, for the record. So that's going to be a great day.
I know.
Knock on wood. Yeah, it is barely a week and a half away. So, cannot wait. We will, of course, be discussing many characters from Daredevil of not only comic books, but film and television. But we'll be discussing the season as well later on down the line. So, definitely stay tuned for that. And now, with all of that said, Jeff, are you ready to dive in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Captain America Brave New World. And so I just wanted to preface that the film is officially 1 week into its theatrical run as of this podcast episode. And it's anticipated to remain in theaters until March. But before we get into that discussion, how about a quick pop quiz? I thought of this on the way home and I was like, okay.
Fine.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay, ready? And this is like a film buff one too. So I think this will be a fun one for you.
Okay.
So January and February are often called dump months.
Yeah.
I can't even say what dump months in the industry. Studios often releasing films that they don't have much confidence in during this time period. Can you name at least 3 Marvel films that have historically been released in February?
I know for sure Black Panther.
Ooh, look at you, right off the bat.
Yes.
Boom. Okay, Black Panther.
Black Panther. Oh, February. I'm trying to, dude, anything that's like the older ones, I don't even know. But
I will say, in the smallest hint, I have 6 total on my list. You have named 1. And 2 of them came out in the last 2 years.
Mm. Oh, I know. Oh, in the last 2 years. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. My memory is horrible because everything just started coming out so, like...
Yeah.
Oh, God. Dude, I'm going to be blanking out on everything.
Think about.
No, not.
No, do you want any hints?
Yeah.
The most recent ones did not do very well.
Yeah.
Which stands true to the dump month.
Did Ant-Man? No.
Yes, it did.
It did? It was in February?
Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania dropped in February 2023.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, now think of a 2024 film.
Last year?
It doesn't have to be Marvel proper, MCU proper.
Oh.
Come on, Jeff.
Does it involve girls?
Yes. It does.
Is it Madame
Madame Web?
Damn it.
Madame Web was released last year for February.
Wow, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it was like the big, like, get tangled in your Valentine.
Oh, like, rip.
Yes, rip. Okay, so Kit, do you have any clue what the other three may be?
Oh my gosh.
Before I read this list off for you.
No, I'm like blanking. My mind is mush right now.
Let's backtrack. So this is interesting because obviously you were a tiny, tiny baby.
Heard.
When these first two were released. But the very first film that was released in dump season was Daredevil, speaking of, 2003, February. Mm. And so originally, the Ben Affleck Daredevil series was pitched as like a Valentine's Day theme. That's because hilarious. Of the red,
yes,
you know, like devil, yeah, whatever. And
yeah.
So Daredevil was released in February 2003. Elektra was released in January 2005.
Wow.
Subsequent to... Wow. Yes, exactly.
Doing them devils dirty, man.
Exactly, exactly. And then, funny enough, Deadpool, the first Deadpool was released in February 2016.
That's crazy.
Because Fox did not necessarily have the most confidence in the film,
mm-hmm.
but also because he is also red. And they're like, oh, that's cute. February.
Yeah.
And just then,
associate it with
yes,
that.
Exactly. Exactly right. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Black Panther released in February 2018, followed by Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, February 2023, and Madame Web in February 2024.
And funny enough, Black Panther did very, very well.
Very well. And, you know, and I think that while it's a bit dicey whether or not Marvel intentionally released either Black Panther or Captain America Brave New World in February for the dump season, it is definitely more popularly thought and hypothesized that it's for, obviously,
sure.
Black History Month.
Sure, I mean, oh, okay.
Yeah, Black History Month is obviously February, so...
Yeah.
That feels more in line with what that they were intending to do.
Yeah.
Whereas with Ant-Man and Madame Web, I feel like, you know,
sure.
That felt a little more purposeful.
Uh-huh.
And then the red stuff.
I mean, yeah, it works out.
Yeah, it works out for sure.
Surprisingly, Deadpool was not.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Whew, they proved that one wrong for sure. So yeah, so Jeff and I attended the fan event at El Capitan on February 13th,
mm-hmm.
A day before the film officially released. And of course, we're met with the disappointment that nobody showed up.
I don't think anyone's coming anymore to these fan events.
I don't think they are. I think they are, you said, they're just more...
It's more about the New York premiere.
They're about that premiere.
You do the Tuesday mm-hmm. LA premiere, and then you go straight to New York.
Yeah, and I saw that even, you know, like as we were sitting in that event, like I saw the pictures pop up like, oh, at the NYC premiere. I was like, man. And then of course on release day, Anthony Mackie showed up at theaters like giving roses to the ladies, and I was like, man. Why? But it's fine. Like, I mean, I'm kind of bummed that they are just kind of pulling back. But we did get that nice little presentation before the screening that they were honoring veterans and such, mm-hmm. Soldiers of people that worked at El Capitan or do work at El Capitan, and they served in one way or another. So that was really nice. So we didn't get any celebrities, but we did get some real heroes.
Yeah, and you still get the collectibles.
Yeah, the cool stuff, which I did have a video I'm making that shows all of the swag that we got from the event as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some good stuff, honestly, like that's always reliable. It's definitely
the shaving cream.
The shaving cream. I would not leave without getting
it. I still did not. No, I refused to grab it. I refused to grab it. Dad was like, why don't you grab it? And I was like, I'm not going to use this, yeah. and I just don't want to have this in my house.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, they partnered with, who is it? Which company is it?
Gillette?
Is it Gillette? Gillette. Okay. It's Gillette and Barbasol.
Ah,
they,
okay.
They partnered with this for the campaign. And so, yeah, you can get a can of shaving cream or a slender travel-sized version with either Captain America or Red Hulk on them. And they were not on the razors, so I did not grab any of those, although I wish they were because I could actually use those. Mm-hmm. But I do have shaving cream. I'll probably get rid of it at some point. But yeah, we got the Funko Pop of Captain America, you know, a cute little tote bag, popcorn bucket, and a credential, which is pretty cool. No poster, interesting. I guess they just don't want to dabble with that anymore.
Yeah.
But we did get a reprint of the all-new Captain America number one.
Yes.
Visa edition featuring Sam Wilson becoming Captain America. That's from the early aughts. So that's really cool. I mean, I thought that was a great way to kind of unify the idea that, you know, there are these naysayers, speaking of people on social media, that mm-hmm. that's not Captain America. And it's like, well, actually it is.
It is.
So yeah, I think that was a great thing to give away, so to kind of educate people and bring them into comics again,
yeah.
which is always nice. And of course they had the costumes on view as well, and so yeah, you know, I'll put up a video showcasing the highlights and then the swag bag, so definitely be on the lookout for that. But the film itself, so we can just dive right in. And for those of you who are curious, the film on IMDb currently stands at a 6.1 out of 10 rating, and it's number one on the popularity level. So people are chatting about it.
Yeah.
They're clearly finally getting out to the theaters. I assume that, you know, with President's Day weekend and Valentine's Day, people are slowly trickling in to actually go see this film. It also has a 49% on the tomato meter,
of course,
unfortunately, but it has an 80% audience score. So it's trending upward. Hopefully it'll get some better response overall.
Yeah.
And it does have a 2.6 out of 5 on Letterboxd. So that's not too shabby, if you ask me. But yeah, so what did you think, Jeff? Like right off the bat, like...
No, I thought it was a lot of fun, and I thought it was very grounded and rooted in like what mm-hmm. Cap means, and I think Sam Wilson,
yes.
Anthony Mackie,
right,
kind of encapsulated that. And mm-hmm. so I was like, and I saw that some things on Twitter where he's like, I don't know what you guys are saying, but that is Captain America to a T.
Exactly.
So yeah, I like
absolutely.
That. There was one thing where I thought okay, I probably would agree with that. Was mm-hmm. in the marketing, I probably wouldn't have teased
Hulk. Yeah,
maybe.
So,
but again, I get why they did it. But
yeah.
I'm also like,
yeah.
But if you watch the movie, you're kind of like, oh well, it kind of leads yeah. all up to that.
Yeah.
And so,
and it's also just very interesting because, yeah, it's kind of like in hindsight they kind of played it up like, oh, he's gonna be such a big part of the film, which he is. He is. You know, at the basis of it. But they also kind of gave away the farm because that was most of Red Hulk's scenes in mm-hmm. the film were already in the teaser trailer,
yeah.
in the full trailer. There is obviously more footage of the character, but yeah, I to backtrack a bit, I do agree, same as you, that it really encapsulated the spirit of Captain America, which is the whole point of this succession continuing.
Like, yes.
It's not meant to be like only the Steve Rogers story. It
yes.
is entirely the Captain America helm
mm-hmm.
and how and why Sam, once again, is the best candidate to receive that lineage. And
yeah.
so I think from a perspective of fans, you know, I've been thinking a lot just at random, just like random thoughts of like how the MCU is often perceived as you have to watch everything.
Yeah.
And honestly, as somebody who has watched everything, I started to pull myself away from it and like, oh, do people that have never seen Falcon and the Winter Soldier, are they going to feel like they were left out of stuff? And personally speaking, I don't think so. Torres was obviously, introduced in Falcon and Winter Soldier,
yes, in
right?
the show, yes.
Which I'm like, okay, and he was great in it as well. But I don't think they're necessarily missing out if they don't watch that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I
agree.
Mean? Yeah, and speaking of Torres, played by Danny Ramirez so wonderfully, I absolutely loved him.
Yeah.
I loved him.
Funny, witty.
So funny, sharp. So witty, so yes. Charming. I'm just like, get out of town, you little Miami kid.
Yeah.
But he's so good. He's so good, and he portrays that character so well. And what I couldn't stop thinking about when we were watching it together, and I rewatched it again the next day in my true form.
Of course.
don't tell my job. I was thinking back on when we talked about Sam and how we mentioned Torres in the episode, and how in the comics, Torres actually becomes a falcon.
Like a legitimate,
like
yes.
He had feathers, right?
So funny.
And how funny that was, and how I wondered, I think even then we wondered, like, how are they even, are they going to even touch that? But no, they beautifully paired it with like, oh no, he essentially got grandfathered into Sam's old suit that he wore. Never on screen.
Yes.
Never on screen. But they mentioned it in Captain America Winter Soldier, as well as they alluded to it in Falcon Winter Soldier. Like, he had the bag and just kind of plopped it down, and they never showed you what was inside, but... In the film, in Brave New World, you know, he's just like, Sam even commented, like, you look great in my old suit or something like that. And so you finally get to see the Falcon before Falcon, and then on the new Falcon, which is really nice. Yeah. And so I think that, yeah, it's great because it felt also like Torres and Sam have a very Bucky Steve dynamic. In a weird way that's almost reminiscent of like the comic book versions.
Mm-hmm.
Because Torres is so youthful and spry and really witty, like you said, which is very much like what kind of Bucky was punchy. And he was a bit spicy in the comics because he was younger.
Yes.
He was younger and Steve was older, whereas in the MCU, obviously they're the same age. But yeah, they kind of had that relationship of like they're buddies. It's almost like a cop buddy show type of deal.
Yeah.
But Sam is also very much guiding him and mentoring him into this, you know, this brave new world.
Yeah.
<Ba-dum-tsh>.
Nice.
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 Did it.
All right. That's the episode, guys. We will.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. But yeah, I personally really enjoyed it. I thought they were great. Did you have any particular favorite moments from the film?
The battle at Tiamat. I mean, just seeing Tiamat again.
I loved, like, I think you said it out loud. You're like, Tiamat!
I was
boy.
Like, oh my God.
Or something. Because, yeah, we've not seen him or even mentioned. And, of course, like, you know, people who actually pay attention to any of these films were just like, yeah, nobody talked about that giant thing in the Indian Ocean. But now they are.
Yeah, and now we know that. Oh,
exactly.
Adamantium's on that thing.
Exactly. Which is very interesting. And I was thinking about that. In the second viewing, I was like, how could that be interwoven? But I guess it's just the organic matter that Tiamat must have been made of.
Yeah.
And so now he's being harvested like Japan, the floating celestial head in nowhere.
Yeah.
Nowhere is the exact same thing. It's also celestial that just lost its head. And now all the space aliens are harvesting its resources. So this concept isn't something new. It's not like, they just wanted to include adamantium in a movie.
I mean, it's like a believable like way 100%. To do it, because you're like where would adamantium even be like made or whatever? And it's like, it comes from a celestial being. Like, oh, that makes sense.
Right. Exactly right. And it's so incredible to think of that, right? And so yeah, so yeah, these celestials are dying or perishing, and now, you know, humans are harvesting their goods. And yeah, adamantium happens to be one, and that makes sense.
And, you know,
like, why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Then the next thing you know, you find Wolverine born in a cocoon inside Tiamat.
I know. That's what I was wondering. I was
insane.
Like, it's very interesting and also clearly intentional, at least to me, that they would involve Japan. You know,
you think they're holding him hostage there?
I don't even think it's like a hostage thing, right? Like they just might be actually going back and tapping the resources of Logan's canon.
Sure.
And how so much of it takes place in Japan that Yeah,
it's
they're
like
gonna.
You can't like not like.
Yeah, they're gonna bake that into this version of Logan that we eventually see.
Yeah,
or maybe they'll even bake Hugh Jackman's into it.
They really might cast a new Logan.
No,
man.
I think it's definitely
I
feeling
they,
like
I
that.
I think
now.
They should. They need to. Like they need to. Like at this point, after Deadpool, I'd be pissed if they if Hugh came back. If it wasn't only in cameo form.
Yeah, because at this point, especially. And I realized this as I was just talking, is that if they interrupted the current canon of that Logan, and then we're like, oh, just kidding, Japan, Tiamat, like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It would be best if they were like, okay, that is a Logan from the other verse, which is what they've thankfully established.
Yes.
But there is a Prime Earth MCU Logan.
Sure, yes.
Awaiting to get his share of this adamantium feed, which is very interesting. And do you, I mean, this is kind of a test of your memory. Do you remember the exact temperature of the encasing that the adamantium was in?
No.
You don't?
No. Was it shown?
Yes. This is the kind of stuff that I remember. But it was 815 degrees Celsius.
Jesus.
So I'm looking up how the conversion of that. So the conversion of that, oh my gosh. The conversion of that is 1499 Fahrenheit. So I was like, okay, when it first appeared, because we did not know it was adamantium, obviously. But once they've officially established, oh no, the canister is full of adamantium. And then they showed it even closer. And I was like, oh, wow, that thing is at 815 Celsius.
It needs to stay.
It needs to stay in liquid form. So interesting. Love that little detail. It's like, oh, my God, that makes so much sense.
What are you guys going to do with it?
I know. Exactly. So it's interesting, right? Like, they're establishing it in this way that it's like, okay, it has to remain super duper duper hot.
Yeah.
And it's really, really rare. And now they're integrating it into this everyday life of that world. And so I thought that was really great. Again, the Japanese aspect is very compelling and it leaves it open to so many things. And so how did you feel about Thunderbolt Ross and the treatment and the conversion?
I was thinking about it. I was just like, oh man, that's not forget William Hurt. I'm like, man. And it's like, and it's also really hard to you know, replace someone.
Oh,
obviously,
he was fantastic.
But someone like it's a very important character, like Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah. And I loved William Hurt as Thunderbolt. I thought the ingenious way that they were able to revive him in the series and bring him in from the original Hulk films was such a great move.
Yeah.
And I am kind of, as much as I do love Harrison Ford as an actor and as a presence and in this film.
Yes.
A big part of me wishes it was still William Hurt.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Big part.
Yeah.
It would have been a great, like, just to see him go off the rails like that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It would have hit a bit different.
But, I mean, if you have a chance to cast Harrison Ford
in the MCU as somebody that's as prominent of a character now as, you know, as Thunderbolt Ross. I mean, yeah, why not? And also, just for fun fact, Brave New World begins in November 2026, 2 years after the events of Falcon and Winter Soldier, and is primarily set in the first few months of 2027.
Wow.
So we have officially jumped. We've officially jumped in the timeline. And so curious if they'll even mention a year in Daredevil
to
kind of connect things, or if it does take place a little retroactively.
I mean, yeah, it'll probably like mention like events, but
yeah. So I definitely enjoyed it. And so, speaking of Harrison Ford, like, you know, as Thunderbolt, I thought his character was very interesting. I thought it was clever the way they kind of made up for the fact that he's a different actor and that he doesn't have a mustache. And that they kind of tipped their hat a bit to William Hurt, like, we're not replacing you, we're just continuing the legacy.
Yeah.
And sort of in that narrative. And also the fact that, yeah, his relationship, because indeed Betty Ross was completely absent from these films as far back as Edward Norton's film.
Mm.
So we've not even heard about Betty, like barely. I think maybe Mark Ruffalo's mentioned her once.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And that's probably 2014 or something. You know what I mean? So to then see Liv Tyler
come back,
not only as in voice, but also on camera.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yes.
And I kind of got spoiled about her because, because it was early on when they were still filming and they're like, oh, you know, Liv Tyler is on set.
I never saw really? The picture. I didn't even see
that. Yeah, I heard about it. But I saw her at the LA premiere, pictures of the LA premiere.
Ah.
So I was like, damn.
Oh, I didn't even. Wow.
Yeah, she was there. And I was like, oh, well, she's in the movie. And so, but it was nice to actually, like, you know, get to see her on screen and have that very short interaction with Harrison Ford. And yeah, it makes me curious if they're even going to have any more crossover with her and Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce, for that matter, you know. And yeah, is there anything else that stands out to you? Like, so how did you feel about this newly introduced villain that we have now? With Samuel Stearns as...
I was going to say, yeah.
Tim Blake Nelson as Samuel Stearns.
I mean, yeah, he seems very menacing.
Very menacing.
I also like the way that they introduced how, like, Ross needed to, like, be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he needed to take something because I don't know if you remember in Black Widow
mm-hmm.
when he made that appearance, mm-hmm. that Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And... he was like, oh, and then Black Widow was like, oh, you sound kind of sick there. And then mm-hmm. he's like, haven't you had like double open heart surgery or whatever it was?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, oh, you know, he's sick.
Yeah.
So then now it's like, okay, what
wow.
did he, like, yeah. Someone on Twitter pointed that out.
That's very true.
And then I was just like, oh, like he probably needed to do something to keep himself alive. And that's what he did. And
that's
it's
so
like, oh, like this is what's.
See, and that's like a great example again. Like you don't necessarily have to watch everything because they were able to compensate and fill in the story without you like some like an obscure sort of notation like that. Like mm-hmm. you don't have to have watched that film to know that, oh, he was unwell because they cover in the film. Wow. That's interesting. That's a semi deep cut.
Yeah. Someone posted that and I was just like, oh, that makes sense. Cause it's not just like,
yeah,
he's just not like, you know, he's not turning into the Red Hulk for a reason.
Yeah. 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 For sure.
He needed to take something to, mm-hmm. you know, get better.
Yeah.
But I like that the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a pretty dark way of like saying like damn, like you were trapped down there. He looked so like hideous.
Yeah, and it's interesting cuz there's a, you know, in the comics he is very much like an alien head looking kind of fellow. And I don't know if you remember this, but there were these early leaks of concept art, not even concept art, of like merchandise art that featured Samuel Stearns. And that's how people got tipped off. I forgot about this completely because mm-hmm. it was so, once it came out, it was like off the radar.
Sure.
Because it felt so out there that people were like, nah, that's not happening.
Yeah.
And so there was this artwork of Samuel Stearns that had appeared on supposedly merchandise. And so there is now this theory that they reworked his look for whatever reason, or perhaps they cut something and then amended it. And maybe he looked like he did in the comics first and then something degraded. And so then he had
maybe
more exposed brain.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe it got tested it and people didn't feel it.
Yeah. So
or didn't believe it.
Right. Exactly. So don't be too surprised if we see some deleted scene that he actually looks comic accurate, which most people would have preferred,
would have wanted, but you never know. Maybe what if they did it and the people were like, oh, he looks so bad, like why would you go comic accurate if it doesn't look, and it's like, well, what do you guys want?
exactly right. Which is so interesting. Yeah, so I forgot that he was even mentioned, let alone like shown in the original Hulk films, right?
Yeah.
And it's like you don't necessarily have to see them. That one is a bit of a stronger case because, yeah, that's kind of an Easter egg of sorts, right?
Yeah.
But he is, I don't want to say omnipresent, but he is one of Hulk's bigger adversaries in the comics. So it is interesting that they would pull him in, but this time for Ross.
Yeah.
As Red Hulk, which is, again, an interesting concept. And we're probably going to talk about Thunderbolt next, if not later on down the line. So we'll get into all of that nitty-gritty canon as far as those two are concerned, or at least Hulk and Leader. But
yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting way to kind of broaden the adversary list, especially for somebody like Sam Wilson, where he's already combating the idea that he's being questioned. Like, how can, if Steve Rogers couldn't do it, what makes you think you can do it? You don't even have a super soldier serum in you, you know? But I think they handled it quite well. And of course, the suit had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, of course, as they mentioned in the movie and in Falcon and Winter Soldier, you know, the Wakandans created this amazing suit.
I know,
suit.
I love his suit.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I love, the stealth suit is great. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's the same one, but the one that, the blue one that he eventually transfers into is like definitely my favorite. Like, I was really into the white one when it came out and also got carried over into this film, but there's something about the blue. I don't know what it is. It's just a personal thing.
It looks nice on him. Yeah, the helmet too.
The helmet looks great.
The tech that he has, you know, obviously he doesn't have the serum, but like I feel like his suit, you know, helps him be a little more super.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Exactly. And I wanted to mention like something else I love, obviously, is the fact that Giancarlo Esposito is in this movie. And he
kills
was,
it.
Yeah, he's absolutely sensational. And he, as an actor, is just so incredible. Again, he, every time he even comes up, I'm like, favorite person in Breaking Bad. He was my favorite. I loved him so much. And he's just a fantastic actor. And I thought he did great. And he made a compelling sidewinder of the Serpent Society.
Yes.
We've talked a little teeny tiny bit about, but we're starting to see more and more of them come through as, you know, the Hydra of yesterday is finally like going away, right?
Yeah.
Now we're seeing these other establishments and organizations kind of surfacing in the MCU, which is great because they need to break free from that, the older era of just cycling through the same sort of villain, but now we're introducing more obscure ones.
Yes.
You know, like the world knows who Hydra is. Let's move on from that. And now we have the Serpent Society, which is going to be very interesting. I also really enjoyed Carl Lumbly coming back as Isaiah Bradley. Of course, he is also from Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but yeah, I loved his portrayal as Isaiah, the first Black Captain America, as they call him.
Yeah.
And he was also, you know, a super soldier. So I loved that they brought him back. It did kind of break my heart when things went askew for him, but the entire leader's entire brainwashing thing, really interesting to me because I wasn't sure how they were going to angle any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I remember thinking early on when we saw the first trailer and you see Isaiah like flip, I was like, he's got to be brainwashed. Like
something.
There's got to be some super soldier
like,
brainwash.
Yeah.
But it wasn't super soldier at all. It was just leader.
Like he could easily manipulate certain people.
Some people, that he's, for whatever reason, like figured out the brain, the patterns and the, it's so cool. The activation process, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Bucky, but almost worse.
Yeah, that was very heartbreaking. Like the way Isaiah Bradley kind of like acted at, he was like, oh, I'm going back. Sure. They're going to welcome me back.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, boom, like this happens and it's like heartbreaking.
Oh, like when he's like, my suit, don't get my, like, watch my suit. I was just like, oh,
I know.
No.
I was like,
and I was afraid he was going to die. I was afraid he was never going to get out.
Yeah.
But thankfully,
yes,
none of that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, of course, we haven't really talked about Isaiah at all. Like, we've touched on points about him. But his grandson, he is, of course, a member of the Young Avengers. And so, Eli.
Yeah.
We saw him in Falcon and Winter Soldier as well. So is he going to come back?
Yeah.
And of course, to even introduce him, we kind of need Isaiah to backpedal it a bit, bring it back a bit, and then like reintroduce him into the fold if he's to be part of this new era.
Yeah.
you know, of Avengers, along with America and Kamala. So, yeah, I'm glad that they resolved his thing and he's absolved of all the crimes. Yeah. And hopefully he's free of all that.
Yeah.
All that craziness. But yeah, I absolutely loved Isaiah in this. And
speaking of government workers.
Yeah.
What about that little special cameo from your boy? Did you see that coming?
No.
Okay. I didn't see it coming either.
I didn't. And it's funny because I don't believe that Sebastian is even credited in the film.
Mm.
Like, if you, in the credits themselves, I do not believe he's in there.
Interesting.
So it's a fully uncredited role. And when that scene was happening, and of course, you know, spoiler. This is after Torres is shot out of the sky.
Yeah.
Basically, he's shot out of the sky. He's not doing great. He's on the board, on the whatever you call it, the table, and he's being operated on. And Sam is just very adamantly like, "Room's closed," or whatever he says. And then the footsteps persist, and lo and behold, it's Congressman James Buchanan Barnes shows up in his little suit and his U.S. pin and such. And it's very interesting because even when I saw it the second time, the friends I saw it with that time, we all thought like, oh, maybe it's Steve. Anybody but Bucky for some
Steve?
Reason.
Steve?
Like, I don't know. Like,
I would know.
It also depended on how desperate Marvel is. Right?
No, I don't think it's worth
it. Yeah, there's no way.
There's no way it's worth it.
For some reason, we were so removed from the idea that Bucky would be in this film because they were so like, no, we're going to pull them apart. They shouldn't have to rely on each other to be one thing.
Sure.
But the fact that they still did it, I'm like, thank you, actually. Because I even said it when we saw it. I was like, they're genuinely probably the best. Like,
yeah, they're literally
duo.
Best friends.
They're best friends. And the fact that he even added in, which I feel is an ad lib, I feel he entirely improvised it, was the love ya buddy. I was like, man, I love these two. I love these two together.
Yeah.
And even just getting 2 minutes of screen time of them together since Falcon and Winter Soldier is sensational. And so this then, of course, domino effects into the fact that I don't think Sam will be in Thunderbolts. I don't think at all that he'll be in Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
So they kind of like dovetailed it like, okay, well, let's give the people what they want in Captain America and then just let Bucky go do his thing in Thunderbolts. And maybe Sam will be in a newsreel or something, whatever.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be on screen together until Doomsday, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, absolutely loved it. I missed a bit of the dialogue the first time we saw it because, again, El Capitan's audio is kind of shitty.
Yeah.
But to actually hear the dialogue that Bucky says, and especially when people are laughing, you know, when Sam's like, oh, did your speech
write? Did you practice
that? Your writers write that for you? Script writers? And he says something like, oh, I gotta, yeah. Hope you liked it, whatever. And then he says, I gotta catch a flight out for this charity or something. And so I'm assuming that exact moment that he walks out of the room is where we're going to start off with him in Thunderbolts. So Thunderbolts could quite honestly be parallel to Brave New World.
Could be.
For all we know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We'll find out in 2 months, 2.5 months. Because, yeah, it's almost here, which is crazy. And I can't wait. But yeah, so excited to see Buck again.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what they do with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then moving on, I wonder, who's the president of the United States right now? Because they didn't say.
Because, Ross is official. Well, I think I said it at one point. I'm not sure with you or the second time, but I was like, who's the vice president?
Yeah, no one's
They did not mention anything. And so, undoubtedly, because with Ross on the raft, someone has to be leading the country. So,
and it's like, is Ross under control when it comes to like his Hulk persona?
Right.
Like
so
how,
many questions.
How is it operating? You know, it's kind of just like, okay, like this is the world as it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, okay, well, let's see where it goes from here, I guess.
Right, exactly. So it's like, okay, who are they going to bring in to stabilize Ross? Is he still going to be on these gamma pills? And if not, then who's ensuring he's still alive? But yeah, it is going to be interesting. And this is another thing that I think they will mention in Thunderbolts, because when Contessa is in front of the board or cabinet of people, like, I imagine that there's going to be mention of a president and the debacle of General Ross and him being on the raft now, but there's going to be a person who is leader in that.
Yeah.
Not the character, but
who
is leading the country in Thunderbolts. So it's going to be very, very interesting how that all plays into perhaps why the Thunderbolts get together in the first place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who else is on the raft?
Again, exactly. I was like, Zemo. I was like, wait, no, Zemo's back in Wakanda. So
they took him back. That's right.
They took him back. So I was like, he ain't there.
Yeah.
But I think Sharon Carter is there.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? There was one other person I had mentioned, and I can't remember now. But
there's people there.
There's people there.
There's people there.
Yeah, especially if they're going to maintain also, you know, like if they're weaving in the Spider-Man aspect. There's some Spider-Man folk on there, technically.
Yeah.
So it's curious.
Yeah.
Curious.
But I'm glad this movie also, like, it stayed. Kind of a friend asked me, like, the other day, like, oh, how was it? Like, should I watch it, like, in theaters? I was like, yeah, I mean, I always say you should watch it. I mean, if you feel like you wasted your money, that's on, you know, that's you. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, this movie is like really it's grounded. It doesn't deal with space celestial things, but it doesn't take place there. It takes place
right
on the ground.
Very much. Yeah.
Very much within just human characters type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Like, it doesn't get over the top. Doesn't deal with any multiverse and stuff. It just deals with a compact storyline.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like curious to see where it goes.
Yeah, it's so interesting because the most supernatural element thing in the film is quite honestly Hulk and the idea of gamma radiation with leader. You know, other than that, yeah, it is very much it has the root of what made Captain America 1 and 2 so fantastic, and also 3 for that matter. You know. It kind of, to me, it had a little bit of all three films in a weird way. More so Winter Soldier, for obvious reasons, because it was kind of spy thrillery with this added element of like, oh, they're flying through the air.
Yeah.
And they have this amazing Wakandan tech with the energy propulsions and such. But I think they handled it really well.
I agree.
And it is a shame. Like, I've been so busy, but for people who have asked me, like, oh, did you like it? I'm like, yeah, I think I found it very, very enjoyable. I think it's great. I think the leads are very strong and they're charismatic, and they keep you in, in the moment. And yeah, it's an enjoyable film.
It is it's an enjoyable, fun film. Yeah. It solidifies Sam.
Yeah,
Anthony Mackie as Cap. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, that's Captain America to a T.
Exactly right. Yeah. And then I just wanted to touch on some of the sub characters that we have not spoken about yet. But there is also Shira Haas as Ruth Batsaroff, who was, of course, if you paid any attention, kind of a polarizing subject matter. Given the political climate in real life.
Yeah.
But her character was very interesting. An ex-widow, according to film.
Ex-Red Room,
yeah. And so she had that amazing skill set. I ended up liking the character more than I thought. Definitely a huge departure from the comics. Not even close to it, which I figured was going to be the sense, because I just I looked at her and I was like, yeah, she's not like some Israeli superhero that she is in the comics.
Yes.
You know, like, she's very much like an agent of sorts. And as we said, she's from the Red Room. So she's clearly got some interesting history.
Yes. Does she know Nat?
Yeah, exactly. Did she know? She kind of recognized Bucky, but she didn't seem to know him in a capacity that would be like in comics. But
yeah,
I think as interesting as she was, I don't think she'll be back. I don't think that she's going to have a continuing role in the MCU.
Sure.
I think she's kind of one and done.
Yeah.
As well as some of the other folks that were in it. So Copperhead, maybe, well, I don't know. These guys, I'm kind of not sure, but Copperhead is the big fella.
Yeah, yeah.
The big fella.
Yeah.
So apparently he was using adamantium blades to cut Sam's suit.
Jesus.
Because what is the one property that can actually combat vibranium?
Adamantium.
Mm-hmm. So he was using adamantium claws or something of that sort. So interesting that he even had that. But yes, again, Copperhead, part of the Serpent Society with Sidewinder. They're all named after snakes, if you hadn't caught wind. And then, of course, William Mark McCullough as Commander Dennis Dunphy. The Dunph. And he was introduced recently in a Lego Marvel game where everyone thought he was Wolverine, but it's actually Dennis Dunphy. And so I just think, again, I said this to Jeff in text. So I was like, all they got to do is just fit in Stiltman in some way where it's
We're so much closer to a Stiltman appearance.
It's so funny.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah. It's like if they can fit Demolition Man and give him a great characterization.
Yeah.
Like RIP. I'm sad that he died, but I'm also like,
yeah,
we got Demolition Man. It just wasn't the exact version, you know. I think that's so funny. I think they can do it for Stilt Man. And so I'm just waiting for the day. That they mention Wilbur Day. And I'll be like, Stiltman! It's Wilbur Day!
It's happening. Stiltman is more reality than we think. Stiltman's more of a reality than Blade.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh, I was talking to my friends about that as well. And like, the further and further it's pushed, the least likely Mahershala Ali will be attached to it, and that's really sad and unfortunate, and it's kind of a downer because I think he would be a sensational Blade. But hopefully we will get some sort of maybe they'll figure it out. I don't know, and it's kind of sad that it's lost in the ether at this point. The sky's the limit, especially if we can get Dennis Dunphy in a Captain America film. So, yeah, I mean, all in all, again, I found it very enjoyable. I thought it was wonderful. I think it's definitely worth watching and worth absorbing on your own. Like, it is constantly disappointing, but it's just the nature of our world now that people are like, what does Twitter think about it? And it's like, good God, like, just go watch the movie.
Watch the movie, man. Like, if you're curious on watching a movie, just go and watch it.
Honestly,
I mean, that's how it was back in the day before, you know, you would have to read the newspapers for like movie reviews and blogs and stuff.
Roger Ebert.
Yeah, exactly. Just,
just go experience.
Just go and watch it. Like,
Exactly. And it's like, I don't advocate for stealing it, but like, I would sooner advocate to steal it than listen to people on Twitter. Because they're never, because
everyone has their own opinion. Like,
exactly.
Like, just, if I go, like, everyone's just looking for like validation, like to say, like, oh, I don't want to see it. Like, oh, that just gave me a reason to hate it.
Love that clickbait. Yeah. And people, you know, of course, and this is another reason why I kind of do stay away from teasers, because, you know, the commentary that follows immediately.
Yeah.
Because once it's in your head, once the negativity is in your head, you go into the screening with that negativity.
Exactly.
And the expectation it's going to be crap.
I'm going to preach the same thing I've said over the last 100 episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just give what they give you.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like it, boom, you don't like it.
Yeah, you don't like it.
If you liked it, then cool.
Yeah, exactly right. And I fully agree. So, yeah, if there's nothing else, is there anything else you want to chat about before?
No, I really just wanted to make sure we talk about your Bucky cameo.
I think I hit you. And I was like, Bucky!
And I was just like,
again, it was just very unexpected. I don't know why. Like, because there was always part of me that was like, yeah, he's going to be in it, obviously.
Yeah.
And then at one point, Marvel was just like, yeah, no, we're pulling them apart. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I legit was like, I don't think there's going to be any cameos. And I'm just, like, that's fine.
Yeah. And I, me too, because I don't want to be, you know, and I know that they're also trying to be better about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to rely on a cameo
yeah.
to enjoy the film.
Yeah.
And thankfully, even without Bucky in it, I think I still would have enjoyed it just as much. But of course, he is the cherry on top for me. And he is also the whipped cream and the sprinkles on that Captain America sundae. I was like, okay, I'm here already. But that just made me so much more involved in the film and loving the film.
Yes, I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah. Cannot wait.
Yeah, exactly right. So yeah, go out, support Captain America Brave New World in theaters now. And probably digital. I would assume it's going to drop just April-ish? Before Thunderbolts.
Okay.
That's my theory. That's my prediction. And so somewhere in the nest of like the end of Daredevil, we're going to get a Captain America digital release.
Yeah.
And then it's...
We get the bloopers. We get the deleted scenes.
The what is it called? I'm already forgetting what it's called. The assembled.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, the assembled.
Because we've not gotten the assembled yet. But yes. I did see that there's like a featurette currently on Disney Plus for the film.
Yes.
So, yeah, go watch it. Go support. And then, of course, you know, it's full steam ahead with Thunderbolts. But, it's very, very exciting time. Marvel fans, we're officially brewing. And then it's going to be all about Fantastic Summer. So it's going to be... a very, very fun time to dive into all of this content. And so speaking of which, next up on the show, it's time for an old-fashioned mini Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
Where we're going to discuss the latest news. I'm sure there's going to be even more in the next 2 weeks. Goodness gracious. As well as the season one of Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, complete with a video version of the episode for YouTube. So...
yes.
Tune on back in 2 weeks and check us out as we'll discuss these things. Yeah, Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Oh my goodness. If you have not watched it, again, very interesting takes on that show. It is.
And people, and also before the show came out, people were like it's not the.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yep, they were hating on it. But then now it's like, the story is actually really good. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, because it's a different take. Sure. On the Spider-Man stories and then also within, because I was just like, wait. He's getting
it definitely turned around for me, because at first I thought it was just going to be a super dialed down version of the character
it's Spider-Man as like at its base, at its core, and then it's all these added layers of like it's like same but different.
Yeah,
like exactly. And then we watched the season one finale today, and I was like, oh my god, it pulled the answer questions, but then also like, oh my gosh, who is that? Like, wait, hold on.
Yeah, exactly. It's so interesting. It's riddled with Easter eggs. And so we'll talk all about these amazing details in the next episode. It's going to be a fun one. But with all that said, that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, and a special thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. And a We Are Groot salute to Melanie, Ed, Ashley, Chris, Katie, Nats, Joe, Liz, Edgar, Ariel, Sherry, Andrew, Laura, Andrea, Tyler, Jenny, and Robin.
Woo!
Follow us on social at STRKCNTRST. And if you like what you hear, please review, rate, and subscribe.
Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
That's Isaiah Bradley.
The Isaiah Bradley. You brought me to the Forgotten Cab. Why didn't you say something?
It is a pleasure to meet you. Your missions and career are legendary.